Good evening, everyone. I want to take the opportunity to thank Goldie and Inval and the members of the PTA, the members of the Hanhala who are here, for inviting me to share a few words of Torah with you on this very special night. As Mrs. Rohn just mentioned, I had the schus to be a TA parent for a number of years, and it's exciting to see the renewed vibrancy that's occurring within the walls of the yeshiva. There's always been a beautiful vibrancy, and there's always been an incredible energy to go ahead and build beautiful Jewish neshamas and be able to allow children to maximize their potential. But I see it now, not as a parent, but as a member of the Vada Chinuch and as a rav in the community, a new energy, an excitement, and an ongoing, almost insatiable thirst to build something better, more beautiful, more holy. And the truth is, this is not part of my speech. The truth is, it's important to understand, no institution is perfect. No administrator is perfect, no mora is perfect, no rebbe is perfect. Imperfection is part of the fabric of the human condition. So if you're looking for imperfection, TA is not the place for you. But neither is any other mosad on the face of this earth. Because as far as I know, no one has been able to accomplish perfection. But if you're looking for an institution that ultimately prides itself on being an institutional mavakish, seekers of growth, individuals, lay leadership or professional leadership, teaching leadership that always wants to inspire greater growth inside and outside the classroom, then I think you've certainly arrived at the correct address. And just even having an evening like this that is not really about this educational content, you know, it's not a back-to-school night, it's not to get reports on your kids, but it's really about dibuk chaverim. It's really about forging relationships. Says so much about an institution. That it's not just about what happens in the classrooms, but the more that there's a synergistic partnership between parents and teachers, between parents and lay leadership, between parents and menalim and administrators, the better off your children are served. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be part of this event this evening. And I give you all a tremendous yashar koach. I'm sure you all had a million things to do tonight, but the fact that you set aside time to come out for something like this is quite beautiful. So I want to share with you a few words of Torah. So Goldie asked me to speak on some topics concerning chinuch. Now, I want to kind of give the disclaimer that I am not an expert on chinuch. My approach to chinuch has simply been to get out of my wife's way and just do what she tells me. And Baruch Hashem, it's worked. You can clap, you can clap, you can clap. And Baruch Hashem, it's worked wonderfully, thank God. And person has to know what their strengths are. So I'm not standing here before you tonight as a mumcha, some kind of expert. Rather, I'm just here to share with you a few reflections. It always struck me that as much as we have a vast, voluminous amount of halacha, and halacha governs every single aspect of our lives, there's no part of our life, big or small, which halacha does not address. Yet, interestingly enough, there is no siman in Shulchan Aruch, there's no section halacha that talks about chinuch, that talks about educating children. Which, if you think about it, it's quite amazing. Yes, we have a pasuk in the Torah that tells us, Vishinamtam levanecha, that a parent is supposed to teach their child, a parent is supposed to allow their child to become spiritually and worldly proficient. But aside from that, there's no siman, there's no chapter in Shulchan Aruch that says, here are the details for how to educate your children, here are the details for how, here's the map, the roadmap, for how to raise successful Jewish children. And I think there's a simple reason for that. And that's because halacha, Jewish law, governs technical mechanistic details. So halacha tells you how to wash your hands in the morning. And halacha tells you how to observe Shabbos, and how to observe kashrus, and how to avoid shatnez, and all the different, and how to be ethical and moral in your business dealings. But when it comes to chinuch, and we know this as parents, so much of successful chinuch is nuanced. In fact, we know as we get older as parents, I should say not older, better as parents, so we know that our children learn so much more from what we do than what we say. And the fact is, that's something we recognize as children ourselves. How many of us remember so many of the things our parents said? Maybe the things they said a million times we remember, but generally what we remember are the things they did. We remember that event where my mother did this, my father did this. And so the halacha understands we can't really dictate how to be machanech a child, because true chinuch doesn't come in the form of a spoken word. True chinuch doesn't come in the form of a lesson. True chinuch doesn't come in the form of a parent sitting down your child to have a talk. It comes in the nuanced behaviors. It comes about in the smallest of ways. A parent has a difficult day at work, and you come in the house. How do you come in the house?
parent who comes in the house with a scowl and runs right to the kitchen because they're starving, or a parent who is short with every single person, a spouse and the other children because the day was difficult, our children learn those behaviors. How you greet a mashulach at the door. Right? Do you turn off the lights? Everybody get down. Right? Or do you go ahead and say, wow, children, a mitzvah, a walking, talking mitzvah has just shown up at the doorstep. Come, let's go and embrace the mitzvah. It doesn't have to be literally, but figuratively. Let's go and embrace the mitzvah. These are the details of chinuch that the Shulchan Aruch can't teach us. These are the details of chinuch that cannot go ahead and be relayed in the written word, but rather they're relayed ultimately through our actions. So what is our job as parents? So one of my favorite pieces whenever I speak about chinuch is to relate the pasuk in Shmos. The Torah says, Va'asisa shnayim kruvim zov miksha ta'aseh osam mishnei kitzos ha'kapor. The Torah tells us when fabricating the aron, the ark, which housed the luchos, the tablets, so on top of the ark were two kruvim, two cherub-like figures, made out of pure gold. Now, to get technical for just a moment, there's a fascinating medrash, the Mechilta brings down, that for all of the other utensils in the Beis HaMikdash, if you didn't have gold, you could build it out of other materials. So, for example, we know when the Chashmonaim came and took back the Beis HaMikdash from the Syrian Greeks during Hanukkah, they had no gold to create the menorah. So the Gemara brings down that the first year they made it out of shipudim, out of their spears, wooden spears, then they made it out of steel, then brass, silver, and then ultimately gold. Any other utensil that you have in the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't have gold, you could use some other precious metal. With one exception, and that's the kruvim. When it comes to the kruvim, the two cherub-like figures perched on the lid of the aron, you could only use gold. And the Lublina Rav, Rav Meir Shapira of Lublin, who himself was an incredible and awesome mechanech. Natche, he was a Rebbe and the Rebbe and someone who inspired masses and people of all ages. The Lublina Rav said something amazing. He says, you know, Chazal tell us that what did the kruvim look like? So the Gemara brings down that one looked like a little boy and one looked like a little girl. They looked like children. And the Lublina Rav said, because when it comes to dealing with your children, your entire approach to them has to be to give them gold. There is no such thing as giving my children in their chinuch second best. There is no such thing as, well, I'll make do with the wood or the copper or the silver or the brass. When it comes to our kruvin, when it comes to our little malachim, when it comes to our little tzaddikim, the approach has to be miksha zav. It has to be gold. So how do we give gold to our kruvin? How do we give gold to our children? So I want to share with you three short ideas, very short ideas. Number one, be a parent. Now, I'm going to be clear. I'm not telling you, like I said before, I'm talking to myself. You could feel free to listen, and if anything helps, then wonderful. But number one, be a parent. What does that mean? It's interesting that there are two mitzvahs when it comes to parenting. The Torah says, Kabed es avicha ve'esimecha, honor your mother and father. And it says, Ishimo va'aviv tiro, a man shall fear his mother and father. Interestingly enough, what's missing? There's no mitzvah to what? This is just like your kids. This is wonderful. Right? Nobody sits in the front and nobody answers questions. Right? What's missing? Aryeh.
Love.
Love. Excellent. I could always count on Aryeh. Love. There is no mitzvah to love your parents. There is no mitzvah to love your parents. Which is quite an amazing thing, given the fact that our parents do so much for us. And I think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach us a very important lesson. The goal of a parent is not to be beloved by his or her children. The goal of a parent, ultimately, is to be respected by his or her children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given each of us beautiful neshamas. Those neshamas come in the form of sons and daughters. And what he expects of us is that we nurture and we nourish those neshamas so that after 120, they will have led successful lives. They would have been Mekadeshim Shemaim, sanctified the name of heaven. They made the world a little bit of a better place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, our job as parents is not to be beloved. Our job as parents is to be respected, to teach our children respect, to teach our children discipline, to teach our children seder. It is the job of a parent not to be beloved, but yet not to be authoritarian. But it is the job of the parent to set limitations. And this, I think, is one of the greatest nisyonos, one of the greatest challenges in parental limitations. I should say in contemporary parenting. I'll tell you just a ma'aseh shehaya that happened. I was in a store, and there was a mother with her young child, and the child was throwing a tantrum in the middle of the store, and like throwing stuff off the shelves, ridiculous stuff. So the mother got down on her knee, she took the child's hand, and she said, whatever his name was, tell me what's wrong, use your words. Now, I'm all for using your words, but I'm also for discipline. There's a time to use your words, and there's a time to take quick and decisive parental action if your child is doing something inappropriate. You know, if we're honest, what's the greatest fear? Why do parents fear disciplining their children? Number one answer, why parents fear disciplining their children? They won't like you. Good. Why else? They may not listen. Good. Why else? This is a younger chevra. So you'll ask some of your older peers. Everybody is afraid of their kids going off the derech. Right? If I tell my child no, they're going to be mechal Shabbos. If I tell my child no, they're going to go off the derech. It is blatantly false. Children go off the derech, rachmana l'tzlan, for a whole variety of reasons. And yes, if parents are overbearing, and if parents are difficult, and if parents are inappropriate, then yes, that could absolutely drive children away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and away from Torah. But if a parent understands that it is their job to set limitations, because if my children don't understand limits as children, children who don't appreciate limits become adults who don't appreciate limits. And you know, children can only get themselves into so much trouble. Adults who don't understand the notion of limits can get themselves, unfortunately, into an entire world of trouble. It is a parent's job to enforce derech eretz. And this is something very important also. Obviously, with little children, so you have to give children leeway. But there are sometimes children have to be taught respect as well. If a parent is speaking, and I know I might sound old-fashioned, I'm probably one of the oldest people in this room, but Rabbi Kahana, it's good to see you. You're in there. If parents are speaking to someone, a child should understand you don't interrupt. Basic derech eretz. Could it be? I saw this in shul the other week, and I was shocked by it, that a father was talking to someone, and his son, his little boy, was kicking him, trying to get his attention. And the father didn't react. I thought to myself, Ribono shel Olam, your child is kicking you. Beside the fact that it's an Isser Doraisa to do that. You're not allowed to kick your parent. You're not allowed to lay a hand on a parent. It's an Isser Doraisa, biblical prohibition. But what happened? Do you not understand that if you let your kid kick you now, do you not understand the snowball effect of that lack of derech eretz? And not just by the parents. If you can't respect your parents, that leads to a breakdown in derech eretz in so many other areas of life. It is not the job of a parent to be beloved. It is the job of a parent to be respected. And the way parents engender respect is by teaching derech eretz, is by ultimately creating limitations and creating seder. I'm not an educational professional, and I'm not a mental health professional, but if I was, I would venture to say that children want seder. Children want order. They don't want dictators, right? They don't want to live like under a communist regime, but seder is good. Schedule is good. Rules are good. And no, if you say no to every electronic device, your children are going to be okay. Even if all the other kids have it, it's a wonderful lesson in parenting to teach our young children. Just because Chaim, Moshe, Yankel, and everyone else has it, doesn't mean you have to. Will your children get angry at you? Probably. But at the end of the day, you'll ask them when they grow up, and I guarantee you, they'll thank you. Because any of us who had parents who said no to us or created limitations for us, we may have resented it at first, but at the end of the day, we come to appreciate that seder, that order, those limitations that were set for us. That's lesson number one. But let me just add one caveat to that. At the same time, a parent can't just be a disciplinarian. Parents have to be attentive and loving. And this is the other side of this coin. The job is not to be beloved or not to be liked. The job is to be respected. But a parent has to be loving and attentive. And one more piece. Our children have to know that our love for them is unconditional. My love for my children has absolutely nothing to do with how they do on their tests. It has nothing to do with their achievements on the ball field. It has nothing to do with any other metric that society has established. Of course, if my child does well on the test, do I get nachas from that? Of course I get nachas. But there's no more or no less love. You know, this, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh brings down. He says, this is the distinction between the love of a father and the love of a mother. He said, the love of a father is very much rooted in the child's accomplishment, whereas the love of a mother is very much unconditional. And I would posit we all have to be a little bit more maternal in this respect. Our children have to know that no matter what they do or they don't do, we will love them. And that applies even when they get older and the issues of parenting become even more complex. Because if a child knows from a young age that my mother, my father loves me, no matter what I do or I don't accomplish, then at the end of the day, we begin to lay the foundation for healthy children. Number two, believe in your child. There's a beautiful, you know, the Rebbe Piazhetsna, Rav Kolomis Kalman Shapiro. So Rebbe Piazhetsna perished in the Warsaw Ghetto. So the Rebbe wrote a sefer called Chovas HaTalmidim. It's a wonderful sefer that speaks about the obligation of students. It's interesting. We always think about the obligations of parents, the obligations of teachers. The Piazhetsna wrote a soul sefer about the obligations of students. In order to learn, you have to adhere to certain obligations as well. So in the introduction, he has a section that's titled Siach Im Hamalamdim Bahorim, a conversation with teachers and with parents. A magnificent 5-page introduction that he has that speaks to us as parents and as educators. And he says something amazing. He says, I'm going to read to you one line. He says, what does the word chinuch mean? So we often translate it as education. But says the Piazhetsna, it's etymologically incorrect. He says, the word chinuch ne'emra, al hotsa'os ha'akshara asher ba'odom obikli, mina koach el ha'poel. Chinuch means the ability to see potential in something and the courage to activate that potential. In order to fully allow our children to self-actualize, we have to know that, or excuse me, they have to know that we believe in them. When I look at my child, I have to be able to see all of their incredible kohos, all of their incredible abilities, all they could accomplish. And I have to realize that it's my job as a parent to help them unlock it. I'll tell you another story. This is when I first started in the Rabbanus, probably about 15, 16 years ago. I had a man who came to me, and he wanted his daughter to get into a certain college, and she couldn't get in. So he came to my house with his daughter to see if I could help. And just imagine this scene. He's sitting with his daughter in my living room, and he says, this is my daughter. You know, the problem is math. She's terrible at math. She's always been terrible at math. From the time that she was young, she was really never able to succeed in math. I said, and you wonder why she can't succeed in math? How long have you been saying this right in front of her? How long have you been saying in front of her that she can't do something? We have to be so careful not to create glass ceilings for our children. I want to tell you a conversation that I have. It's not shy for this group, maybe for some of you. A conversation that I have every single year, 2 weeks before TA middle school starts. The conversation goes like this. Rabbi Silber, my son was placed in a particular shir. The Rebbe has a reputation for being very hard. Very hard. And I don't want my child going into that shir. I said, why? It's a lot of work. And it's just a lot of work. And I have to tell parents every single year, do you understand the message that you're sending to your child? And maybe the shir is not for your kid. I don't know. But if you're going to give them a pass on not going to the shir because there's hard work, what you're essentially effectively communicating to them is that they can't hack it. You're telling your kid, albeit in a nuanced way, that they can't handle this shir. Now, maybe they can't, but at least let them try. So often in life, we create glass ceilings. Again, it's always amazing. And again, I'm not a professional educator, but it's amazing sometimes how often children are tagged from young ages as having, now I'm not talking about if a child has a real learning issue or a real challenge, but sometimes, again, the kid who just doesn't catch on immediately is sometimes labeled, sometimes tagged, and what we do is we create these glass ceilings for children. And as parents, we have to realize that sometimes we do it as well, albeit unintentionally. When we tell our children, it's too hard or it's this, the best thing you could teach your child in life is a work ethic. The best thing you could teach your child in life is if you want anything, you have to work hard. And yes, sometimes you will not be matzliach at first. Sometimes you will fail. Sometimes you will fall. Sometimes after you fail and fall, you need a new course. You need to do some course correcting activity. Sometimes you just have to get back up and try again. But lesson number two is believe in your child. That's what chinuch is. Don't allow them to be afraid of hard work. Don't create glass ceilings. Be a mechanic. Be someone ultimately who goes in and sees the beautiful potential that remains untapped in each of our children. Finally, number three, don't try to change your child. Develop your child. What do I mean by that? So, of course, whenever it comes to chinuch, the most often quoted pasuk is a pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk says, "Chanuch lenar al pi darko." Teach a child according to his way. So again, so here we have, you know, everybody gets all excited about multiple intelligences. You know, Baruch Hashem, we understand, not everybody learns the same way. There are kinesthetic learners, there's this type of learner. It's not new to us, because we knew this about 2,500 years ago. This is Chanuch L'Nar Pi Darko. Not every child learns the same way. So I want to share with you something, that if I were to say it, you would tell me I'm an apikores. But the Vilna Gaon says it. So you could argue with the Gaon if you want to. So listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. What does it mean, Chanuch L'Nar Pi Darko? Get ready for this. He says, "V'ha'inyon ki ha'adam i'efshar lo lishbar darko." The Gaon says, you can't change people. People are who they are. And he quotes the Gemara that brings down the famous Gemara that if a person, the Gemara says, if a person is born under the zodiac, the constellation of Mars, Ma'adim. So the Gemara says, what happens? What is that person going to be? He's going to be a shofech damim. He's going to spill blood. The only variable is how he spills blood. He might be a murderer, or he might be a moel, or he might be a shochet. Everything depends on the variable. But he's going to go ahead and be someone who's supposed to. Gaon says what Chazal is trying to teach us is that at the end of the day, you can't change people. People have a teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a nature, and this is very apropos for the time of year that we're in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could change certain things, but there are certain aspects of our gestalt, our essence, that are unchangeable. And therefore, says the Gro, when you look at your child, you have to understand that there are certain things about this child's personality that are unalterable. So you have a choice. You could spend your life trying to make your child in your image, what you want your child to be, or I can take a step back and say, who is my kid? What are his kohos? What are his abilities? What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? And how do I help him maximize his innate qualities? Listen to what Ravalbi says. Ravalbi has a beautiful sefer. It's more of a pamphlet called Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. Literally, planting and building an education. And listen to what Ravalbi says. He quotes this grunt. He says, Ludugma, I want to quote to you this example. Yelesh shetchunaso lihios tamid bitnua. If you have a child, I guess today we call them the kinesthetic learner. He's always moving around. Can't sit still. E'efshar lapoch yelet kazeh li'yelet sheyoshev al ha-sefer eshim sha'os bayom. You can't force that kid to sit in the Beis Medrash for 20 hours a day. He says, im machrichim oso lakach. This is Ravolbi. And if you force him to do this, mekalkilim es hayelet. You will ruin the child. O ma'avdim oso. Hayelet holich achrakach b'daf mishol. Because at some point in time, our children grow up and they're going to do their own things anyway. And sometimes they do it despite the parents who imposed upon them things that they were not capable of doing. Doesn't mean that we don't try to develop our children, that we don't try to better our children. Of course we do. And it doesn't mean that a child who runs around like a little behemoth, in a good way, at a young age, can't develop into a beautiful Ben Torah. Of course, that's not what I'll be saying. But sometimes we think about the image we have for our children without actually taking the time to see who our children are. Don't try to go ahead and make our, we shouldn't make our children in our own image. The goal ultimately is not to change your child, but the goal ultimately is to try to go ahead and help to cultivate our child's innate gifts. To take a step back and to look at our children, each one of our children, such a precious neshama with his own set of abilities, and yes, his own frailties and own weaknesses. And my job as a parent is to help my child discover those kohos and to cultivate them so that he could be the best child he could be. These are the 3 points. There are many, many more to successful chinuch, and in no way am I suggesting that these are the 3 points for successful chinuch, but I think they're a start. Number one, be a parent. Worry about being respected. Don't worry about being loved. Set kedarim. Teach respect. Teach derech eretz, and our children will come to appreciate the seder that we contribute to their lives. Number two, believe in your child. Be a real mechanech who sees the kohos. And number three, don't try to change your child, but develop your child. Just look at your child for who he is and help him become the best person he could become. We should hope that in the merit of Miratz Hashem, they'll come together for such a beautiful night like this, for the merit of all of you entrusting your children in such a magnificent Mosad and Yeshiva. We should hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give all of our Moros and our Rebbeim and our Menalim and our educators and our administrators the Siyata Dishmaya to be able to help nurture our children. And we should be Zocha as parents in our homes and in our lives to appreciate the beautiful gifts we have in our children. We should be Zocha and Yaretz Hashem to love them, to nourish them, and to nurture them. And may our children be a source of nachas for us, for our families, for Klal Yisrael, ultimately for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you.
Anyone has a question?